Hello there. This is Neil with Graveside Paranormal Presents Spirits by the Graveside. This is being aired and recorded on 6/25 of 2022. It is going to actually be aired on 6/26 tomorrow. The reason why is because I'm going to the Sox game tomorrow. My kids bought me some tickets. And so I'm going to the Sox game. So we are going to be recording here today for Spirits by the Graveside. We are going to be talking about haunted lighthouses. Let me bring in Michelle. Michelle, how are you today?
Good. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Wearing my St. Augustine lighthouse shirt.
Yeah, you were just at St. Augustine.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that trip go?
Loved it. The only bad thing, we were supposed to get into the lighthouse for an investigation, but the lighthouse was under renovation. It was supposed to have been open the weekend we were there. Unfortunately, it wasn't ready. So, but it was still good. We were still able to get on the grounds and into the keeper's house at night. So I was just happy to be there at night. That was my, right. I've been there before many times, but I've never had the opportunity to be there at night. So that was awesome.
Good. Love it. I've been there. I took my whole family there some years ago in St. Augustine, Florida. And we'll get more into it. And Michelle's going to be telling us all about haunted lighthouses tonight. I have one haunted lighthouse, even though I've been to St. Augustine. And I remember when I went there, I was in awe of how great of a job they do there. And it's a shame that you weren't able to get in everything there because they have the grounds out there and they do a very nice job.
Yes,
and the whole community is haunted.
Yep. Everywhere you go in St. Augustine, everywhere. So
the thing that I like about it is, the little lakes. Is it lakes there? What is it?
There's a bunch of inlets. There's a bunch of lakes all around. Well, where it sits, the lighthouse itself is, I think it's called Anastasia Islands. So
yeah,
there's the ocean. There's a little inlet. There's a little lake. There's another land barrier. It's water, land, water, land, till you hit the ocean.
Right.
So there's a bunch of little tributaries and everything down there.
And you see all these really nice boats.
Oh, yeah.
I remember me and my kids sitting there up on the little grassy areas and sometimes little beachy areas.
Right.
And you would just watch the boats. And you're just like so relaxed. It's just nice. You know, so I recommend people to go to St. Augustine,
yes,
Florida.
Not just for the ghosts. I mean, there's so much history. Right. It's the first established city in America. It's where the Spanish were. But there's so much to do down there. Families, couples, whatever. They've got it all. Like I said, not just haunted stuff. So much to do.
It's not that far from Orlando.
No, not at all.
I think it's like an hour and a half away from Orlando, if that.
And it's between Jacksonville and Daytona. So it's right there.
Yeah, it's
perfect.
Nice. Drive is so nice. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad you're back and safe and sound, of course.
Yay, thank you.
Anything else going on with you?
Just keeping busy with summer. You know how it is. It's summertime madness. Just keep going.
Yeah. You know what the one thing is that I noticed is that the grass really isn't growing. You know, like, it's not even the end of June because it's been so hot here in the Chicagoland area that, like, I don't have to mow my lawn this weekend, which is a good thing. But at the same time, then your grass starts to look a little bit brown.
Yep, that summer heat hit.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Well, we got a good rain today, so... That helps.
Yeah, it's been hot though, man. It's been
I love it.
So what else is new? Anything else? You making cookies?
Oh yeah, got an order for tomorrow.
Yeah, you got a big order. Just so anybody doesn't know, Michelle makes a whole bunch of bakery stuff. She makes cookies and brownies, and let me tell you, her chocolate chip cookies, unbelievable.
Thank you.
She makes me those, and I go, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It just helps my diabetes.
Oh, please, chocolate chip cookies, wink, wink.
Yeah. And then the cheesecakes that she makes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are freaking good, man.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, no way. All right, so
that's working me.
Yeah. So that brings us into, we're going to start, let's just get right into the news. Steve. All right, our first thing in news. Stargazers were left puzzled when they saw spiraling blue light formations in the sky last night. Alasdair Burns, a stargazing guide in New Zealand, received a text from a pal at about 7:25 local time saying, "Go and look at the sky." He told the Guardian, "As soon as we actually went outside, it was very obvious that what it was he was referring to." Alasdair says he saw a massive blue spiral of light in the sky. He added, "It looked like an enormous spiral galaxy, just hanging there in the sky and slowly just drifting across. Quite an eerie feeling," he said. The stargazer took a few images on his phone using the long exposure function. Steve, do we have any pictures of that stargaze? Other than
no,
like a rocket. And this was off the mirror. So you can go to mirror on the website. Google mirror, and you're going to be able to see that. Michelle, what do you think of that thing?
Well, the first thing I thought of, and I've mentioned this, I think, to Steve before. I'm not sure if you're familiar with a company called HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. Yeah. Better known as its High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. And it's a facility that researches the ionosphere by using a beam that can be pointed in any direction. Of course, it's a big conspiracy theory amongst people saying that it's heating up the planet. It's causing natural disasters. They're controlling the weather, so and so. I have seen pictures of these spirals. I've seen the one in Norway, not personally, you know, pictures, videos. I think another place was Alaska. They had a few instances like that where the spiral light in the sky. And it
yeah,
lasts
I see
for,
it,
I don't know how long.
Yeah, it's quite odd.
Right.
I use the word odd.
It is.
You know, people would probably start thinking, you know, like some kind of supernova or something like that, or a black
right.
hole is about to open up or something.
Right.
Thanos is coming through. something
With
right
Thor
out of
Thor and Loki.
Yeah, Thor and Loki or something like that. So that brings us to, it's something to think about, definitely. So that brings us
right.
to the second piece of news. Steve, if you will.
Dun, dun, dun. Tenants of a French apartment building say they are being tormented by ghosts. In a very weird story from France, a staggering 10 residents of an apartment building in Paris suburb say that they are being tormented by ghosts. The peculiar haunting reportedly came to light when the tenants who lived throughout the first five floors of the complex penned a letter to the housing department in the town of Fontenay-aux-Roses. Forgive me if I mispronounced that. That's where the building is located. According to some of these tenants, they have repeatedly seen an eerie shadow described as being like a kind of cloud that goes in and out of their apartments. Additionally, they wrote that they have frequently heard disembodied footsteps and have observed objects moving on their own while lights go on and off for no apparent reason. So apparently, these tenants probably became pretty fed up with this, and the town officials started expressing skepticism about their paranormal claims. So it's actually a back and forth thing that's going on. These tenants want to be relocated. They don't want to live in this apartment building anymore because they're too terrified of everything that's going on there. So
it's like a shadow man.
Shadow man, footsteps,
Batman.
Scary lights, Batman, Hat Man.
Batman.
Right, it's the Batman.
It's the Batman. Or maybe it's the Chicago Mothman.
You never know.
Yeah,
you never
know, man.
Bonjour, oui, oui.
Bonjour. Flop, flop, flop. So that brings us into our third little news. Now, this interesting point of news actually comes from Moss Graveside Paranormal. Last week, we did our tragic tour. We were sold out for it. A great audience that we had. A lot of nice people that were out there. This young lady, she gave me this picture 1 hour after we left Holy Sepulchre Cemetery. Now, if you show me the zoomed in one there, Steve, for a second. It looks like an outline of a nun. If you look at the white above the eye, it looks like a nun's habit. I think it's called a habit.
Yes.
I think that's, yeah. And it looks like the old traditional gown of a nun. Go back to the other picture for a second, Steve. This lay was not there. We would have noticed this lay. We were at Holy Sepulchre Cemetery. We were talking about Mary Alice Quinn and the Grimes sisters there, me and Bob. And this girl, about an hour later, showed me this picture. And I told her, send it to my email. I'll check it out. And I ran it through some things just to see. And people talk about, like, pareidolia. Like, some people have said, it's pareidolia. Now, the difference between, like, pareidolia and stuff like that is, all right, pareidolia is something like, you know, if you see in the clouds, you see, like, Mickey Mouse or something like that. It's what your mind is thinking, so basically you don't go nuts. Plain and simple, same thing with sound. The thing is with this one, this is very distinct looking. You can see where, like, the edge of the nose is. You can see, like, the outline of the mouth. A pareidolia would be very, very fuzzy. And I don't think that this is one of pareidolia. It's just too odd of a photo. And this lady, I'm telling you right now, she was not there. What do you think, Michelle?
Well, what I told you when I first looked at it, it actually reminded me of the nun from the movie. I'm like, yep, that's a nun. That's a nun. Reminds me of the sisters from my high school back in the day.
I was like, when I saw it at first, I was like, what am I looking at?
Right.
And then I kept looking at it, and then I put it through different things on the phone, and then I took it home, and I started putting it through different phases. And I can't explain it. I don't think it's pareidolia. As you can see, I put it through a different thing right there. It brings out more exposure into it. And you can see more of the face and more of the clothes.
Right. It's very distinct.
It's very distinct.
You see, that's something that you have to stare at and like try to make out. It's there.
Yeah, that's the difference between pareidolia and like a real picture. Is distinctness. And that I think that's a very distinct photo. And I have to thank the young lady. I'm sorry if I forgot your name for a minute.
Good job.
And what was it?
Ashley.
Ashley? All right, Ashley did a great job. That's all I'm gonna
Great job, around. Ashley.
Young ghost hunter. And so she sent us this photo, and that's the one thing I like to talk about is it's majority of these things that we get from people is when we take them on these tours, Michelle.
Right.
Like we take them to the back end of Bachelor's Grove Cemetery, right? How many times have we gotten photos
right.
on the windows in the car, in the bus?
Exactly.
I
think a lot of it's the energy that we are bringing along with the people on the bus, their energy, you know, mm-hmm. I think that helps a lot too.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, it's just amazing the things that we've gotten from our customers. We got over at Archer Woods Cemetery last October, maybe the weeping lady of Archer Woods Cemetery. That was a weird picture.
I had that picture from years ago. Mm-hmm. I'll have to dig it out, put it on our Facebook page or something, where right in front of the office building, there's image of a man, looks like a man standing there and maybe a dog at his feet. And it was somebody, I didn't personally take the picture, but I, you know, when I used to do ghost tours with the other people, a customer sent it to me. I'm like, you got to send me that picture. So I'll have to find that and dig it out for you guys.
So that was some very good news. And so let's get into our announcements. Steve, roll them. Parapalooza, July 23rd. We are going to just have one hell of a time. It's going to be going from 12 o'clock in the afternoon till at least 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. We have over 40 vendors that are going to be there. It's going to be at the Pavilion / Branding Iron. In Bridgeview, Illinois. I believe it's 7030 West Harlem Avenue. Joel from Hellbilly Deluxe actually made this. This is what our t-shirts are going to look like. And then we have on the back some of the vendors' advertisement areas are going to be on the back. We're going to have Ghostly Podcast out there. We're going to have the Bad Taste Crime Podcast out there. We are also going to have Hellbilly Deluxe out there. We're going to have Absolution. Absolution is a ghost cover band. Hellbilly Deluxe is a Rob Zombie cover band. Absolution is going to be going on first, and then Hellbilly Deluxe is going to be going on second. Like I said, and we're also going to, this is so cool. We are going to have the Windy City Ghostbusters out there. So these people, they go around for charity. What we are going to be doing is like what we do on the buses, we're going to play Split the Pot. So what's going to be is half of the money is going to go to a one-time winner. The other half of the money is going to go to a children's hospital. I'm big about charity, big about helping children. All of us at Graveside Paranormal are big about helping children. So we got together with the Windy City Ghostbusters, and these guys are going to be out there with a 30-foot tall Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. It's going to be just a really good time. The place, the Pavilion, the Branding Iron, they have a lot of good food there. We also, right, little horror girl, our Kylie, is going to be out there, and she is going to be the MC for the full day. She is going to be introducing everyone. She's going to do an awesome job because I have a lot of belief in Kylie and her, what she's going to do. She's very good, very important to Graveside Paranormal. So she's going to be out there doing that. Some of the people that are going to be out there is Moonlight Bean. We got Carrie who's going to be out there. She's a vendor who's going to be out there. She's going to be out there. Voodoo Teak is going to be out there, which is awesome. That is really neat. Frankenworks, Jewelry Vintage Art Studios. They are going to be at Parapalooza as well. And who's our other one that's going to be there? Wicked Whimsy. Wicked Whimsy is going to be there. I really love this artwork on this, Michelle. What do you think?
Yeah, me too.
I mean, that took a lot of time.
Yes. I'm excited for all the vendors. I hope they have time to be able to get around and visit all their booths. I know a few of them personally, but all the new people that I've never met, I'm really excited about the vendors. So get your tickets.
Get your tickets. You go on Eventbrite.
That's right.
The other thing is, so we'll have Ghostly Podcast. We'll have Bad Taste Crown Podcast. We're going to have Dr. Wax, who's a magician, comedy magician, is going to be going on. Then we're going to be having a thing called Deal with the Devil. Prizes aren't going to be given out. We're going to be playing Deal with the Devil, which is a game show. Then we're going to be doing, and we're giving away $100 cash for a Scream Queen contest. So you girls or you guys, whichever
better warm up.
Come on out and give your best scream, and hopefully you can win it. We're going to be limited to a certain amount of people. I think it's going to be anywhere between 25 to 30, and then we're going to break it down as that hour goes along. Also, Michelle here and Tony Sabowski is going to be doing two-hour ghost tours. We're going to do a total of three of them. We're hoping that we can fill them all up. You got Tony Sabowski, one of the best tour guides in Chicago, plain and simple. He's going to give you a good thing all up and down Archer Avenue. And he's going to have a lovely assistant here, Michelle, who is going to help him out. And we're going to run all the videos and music for everybody. And me and Steve, we will be at Parapalooza all day long, helping you along and doing the best that we possibly can for you. So we hope to put forth a great show for each and every one of you. So come on out to Parapalooza. Boo.
Boo.
And that takes us into our show tonight. We are going to be talking about haunted lighthouses. What is it about lighthouses that keeps spirits lingering long after lights have been extinguished? Lighthouses are full of stories like death, isolation, madness, and in some cases, actual murder. While their light can be a beacon of hope to lost sailors, darkness has often haunted them. The earliest known lighthouse was one of the wonders of the ancient world, Pharos of Alexandria. Construction began sometime before 270 BC, and Pharos lit the Mediterranean for almost a millennium. Are these hauntings, residual hauntings, or spirits that do not know they have passed? Tonight, we'll look into these three hauntings tonight. So before we get into the first one, what do we think that the hauntings are? Are they residual hauntings through traumatic or dramatic things that happen in a timeline? Or could they be earthbound spirits that do not know that they're dead? It's questions that have to be asked, and hopefully we can kind of answer them tonight with me and Michelle. But I'm going to lead it right into Michelle. Michelle, what do you think you want to lead off with St. Augustine? Go ahead.
Of course, my absolute favorite lighthouse, St. Augustine, Florida. I'm going to call it the Dead Keepers of the Lighthouse.
Dead Keepers of a Lighthouse.
Duh, duh, duh. So the current lighthouse was built between 1871 and 1874. There was actually a previous lighthouse before that, but it was made of wood and used as a watchtower by the Spanish during the erection of Castillo de San Marcos. I'm sure people that know St. Augustine know that fort down there. It finally crumbled down and a new one was built. It is actually the first lighthouse that was established in Florida. Now, many keepers have kept watch over the lighthouse even after they've passed on. One of the first women to become a keeper was Maria Andrew. Unfortunately, it was because her 60-year-old husband, Joseph, fell to his death from the lighthouse. He was whitewashing the lighthouse, and the scaffolding he was standing on suddenly collapsed. The local newspapers described it as a gruesome scene. And I actually found the clipping. And they described it as, he first struck the ground of the oil room about 30 feet below, whence he glazed off and struck the stone wall which encloses the lighthouse, then to the ground, a stone pavement. Now Maria, his wife, panicked. She didn't know what to do. So she ran to the top of the lighthouse, screaming out, help, 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 help. Because there's no cell phones, no telephones back then. As she was screaming, help, help, what should I do? Reportedly, she heard her dead husband's voice on the wind say, tend to the light. So that's how her story became. You know, she continued to stay on at the lighthouse and all the locals loved her. So for a while, they let her continue on at the lighthouse after she perished.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the only story.
I know that's not the only story.
That's not the only story.
This is where it gets really good.
No, there's more. There's more.
Please.
So there's another spirit that they call the Man in Blue. There was a keeper called Peter Rasmussen. But he was a very cranky individual, hated people, hated crowds, but he loved to smoke cigars. He was a keeper at the lighthouse from 1901 to 1924. According to many accounts, though, he hung himself in the basement of the keeper's house. People have actually smelled cigar smoke, have seen a man in a blue suit, and that's probably the uniform that they were wearing, and have even been harassed by his spirit inside of the basement. So I'm going to have a quick story regarding that basement. Like I mentioned before, we did the lighthouse tour at night. As we're in the basement, the certain section, you know, they were talking about good old Peter, the Man in Blue, down in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman who she started feeling very nauseous. She had to leave. She had to get out of there. She's like, I gotta leave. I have to leave. Now my husband, he started feeling off, pretty weird. He didn't leave. He wound up staying down there. Is like, I didn't want to say anything, but I wasn't feeling too hot down there either.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the weather. It wasn't that hot. It was actually a real beautiful night. So I don't know if they experienced Peter harassing them, but I just wanted to tell you my little personal experience. I never experienced anything in there, unfortunately, but the fact that other people did when I was there is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's always good when people experience something like that, and they basically have the same story.
Right.
It's interesting. Especially right. With sickness, when they're not feeling good.
Right, and that's one of the stories down there, the cigar smoke, being harassed, just not feeling well. So who knows? I can't say what
who
it
knows?
Is. I don't know. So now there's another keeper. William Harn was the first keeper in the newly erected lighthouse. He died from malaria and tuberculosis that he contracted during the Civil War. Now, his favorite part of the house was the parlor area, and he can be heard coughing. A lot of people will hear coughing in a certain area of that spot. So people have caught it on EVPs, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my favorite story, but it's actually a sad, tragic story, and that is of three little girls
right.
who accidentally drowned just outside of the lighthouse. Now, forgive me if I pronounce this name wrong. Hezekiah Pitty was a superintendent during the construction of the current lighthouse. And it is reported that two of Pitty's daughter, Mary and Eliza, were playing with another girl, believed, and that little girl was believed to be maybe one of the construction workers' daughters. So they decided to play with the supply cart that led down to the water. That's what a lot of construction people were using to get supplies back and forth.
Up to the top of the tower.
Exactly.
So they had it at the top of the tower, which was a cable line that went all the way down. Right.
To the water, like a track, kind of right. Like a tiny train track, I guess you could say.
Right.
So they all decided, you know, let's play with the supply cart. And as they were playing with the cart unscrewed from the track, flew down the hill and overturned into the water below. Now a worker came to the rescue, but unfortunately it was too late. All three girls drowned. One woman actually reported seeing a young girl in a red dress in the window of the keeper's house. She had long hair, and they said she actually flipped her hair over her shoulder and then just disappeared. Children's laughter is heard throughout the entire grounds. And one staff member actually thought that somebody was left in the keeper's house as he was locking up. He heard children's giggling. Children's voices coming up from the upstairs. He goes upstairs, check everything, thinking, oh, somebody got left behind. Heard nothing. As he's upstairs, he starts hearing children's giggling coming from downstairs. So he's following this giggling. And apparently this giggling noise went all the way to the entrance of the lighthouse door. So,
right. Now this cart that you're talking about, just so people know, that was like in the early 1900s, am I right?
Yes. And well, late 1800s, actually.
Late 1800s. The second,
it was, yeah, about 1871, 1874, somewhere in that time era.
Well, these carts, just so everybody knows, these three girls were inside this cart, and they were going down that cable. And like Michelle said, it flipped over. This thing's made of nothing but steel.
Steel and probably wood.
It was like in a coal miner's or a railroad thing. And it flipped over and landed on them in the water. And no way or another were those three girls going to be able to push that off.
Pretty much pinned them in the water.
Right, right. It's horrible.
Right.
So, Steve, we have a picture. Why don't we show what the inside of the lighthouse looks like, the stairs. Show me that first picture so everybody gets a look. So that's what it looks like. And then, Michelle, another person sent in this picture. I was able to find this picture. Could this be an apparition of one of those girls? No, not that one, Steve. The girl in front of that girl right there. That's an odd picture.
Mm-hmm.
But could it also be a blurry picture with just like a model there or like a doll? I don't know. But if it was a real picture, you know, and somebody was able to click it, it is very eerie. What do you think of that one, Michelle?
That's one of those where I...
Question?
Questionable. I'm kind of skeptical on that one. I need to see the picture. I'd like to talk to the person who took the picture. So.
Sure.
I'm so on that one.
And then just Steve, show them the picture of the leaning over the.
Oh yeah.
So this one was taken on Ghost Hunters.
Yes.
And they were looking up and they took this photo. Actually, there was a photo or video, but they were able to pull out it as a picture. That's a very interesting photo.
Yeah. And if you watch the video, first you'll see. The hands come over the railing and then the rest like peek down and then go back.
Yeah. So this is definitely a very active place. Me and Michelle at two separate times have definitely been at this place. And I'm going to tell you, I remember hearing like whispering.
For me, I felt like I was being watched. And it was mostly when we were outside on the grounds. Felt like something. Oh, and I did have an experience in the basement as well. I almost forgot about this. As you know, everyone's telling the ghost stories, the two ladies, I thought my husband was standing behind me and I heard like, turn around. Nobody's there because it's pitch black in the basement. So, yep, nobody's standing behind me. So I did hear every breathe in the basement, but I'm not saying it's a ghost. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Now, Steve, show us another picture of St. Augustine that Michelle sent us. So this here, this is from St. Augustine.
Yes, the keeper's house.
Now you go inside there. I think it's definitely on the first floor. This is where you wait
until
your sword comes on. And it's like a cannon there or something like that. Some old cannon, small little cannon, if I remember right, unless it's been moved or something. And they sit there with you, and they give you EMFs, and they let you go along all the grounds at the famous lighthouse. That's what's so awesome about this place. Right. They give you full access to everything. Right. Go upstairs and downstairs and the basement. It's such a really awesome place. Steve, give that lighthouse. Now, it's gone through many different colors. As you can see, this is black and white.
Now, this was what my last trip, not this previous trip. This is probably maybe 7 years ago. Okay. So the other ones I said, you'll see, you know, it's under the construction, under rehab.
The next picture, I believe it's red and white. Steve, you got another one? Oh, maybe it's not.
Well, yeah, the bottom, that's where you enter into the lighthouse. It's a separate.
So this is during construction. This is the photo that you took during construction.
Correct.
You know, it's cool that they keep upkeep on these things. And look at all that nice stone. That is
it's
nice.
It's beautiful there. It's so gorgeous there.
It is. The whole area is so nice. And they have so many nice haunted areas around the place that you can go and visit besides the lighthouse itself.
Yes. Definitely. Oh, yeah. Every time we go. Oh, see, now this one, I don't know. It could have been something with my shutter. But every other picture came out fine. And I will tell you, no smoking was allowed. So no one was smoking. The weather was perfect. So I don't know. Like I said, it could have been a shutter issue I had with my camera. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's one of those. I'm skeptic on it, but I just thought I would throw this in as something to look out for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a picture that's up for discussion.
Right.
But do you have anything else on the Augustine Lighthouse?
Nope, just go there if you can. Love it, love it, love it.
So what do you think the kind of hauntings are? Do you think it's residual? Do you think it's earthbound spirits? What do you think? What do you think is going on?
I actually think it's all the above.
Yeah.
You got so many different stories going on. There's been interactions. There's, you know, like I mentioned, the girls. Like, it was like, follow me if you can, when the guy was locking up the building. You know what I'm saying? He's upstairs. They're giggling upstairs. Now the giggling's downstairs. Now the giggling's outside. Oh, let's play. Maybe it was the children interacting, trying to play with him, get his attention.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's going to take us into the next one. The Big Sur, the Point Sur Lighthouse, which is in California. Point Sur Lighthouse was commissioned to be built in 1889 on the Big Sur coast. Sits high up on the large volcanic rock dome looking down on a long sandy beach. The beach at Point Sur is unfortunately off limits to the public from the lighthouse, and is even signed no trespassing from the fence on the highway. One of the worst disasters to happen under the watch of the Point Sur Lighthouse was the Los Angeles, which sank in 1894. This disaster sadly claimed the lives of 6 people aboard, including women and children. Being a beacon surrounded by such terrible disasters has left the Point Sur Lighthouse tainted, and according to so many, haunted. The spirits thought to have wandered ashore to the lighthouse include multiple sailors, young children, and a man in a navy blue suit. This man has been sighted by countless guests walking through the visitor center, while others have claimed to hear or capture recordings of a little girl's voice. Their minds are always a little girl's voice.
Right. Yeah.
In addition to a lady in white. And always so. Lady in addition to these lost souls, the spirits of the families that once manned the run the lighthouse before automation are also rumored to be reminded after death. In fact, as many as 20 ghosts are claimed to haunt the Point Sur Lighthouse, one of the most common pieces of paranormal evidence that has been documented at the lighthouse is EVPs. Lots of EVPs at this place. In addition to this, people have sighted apparitions, experienced poltergeist activity, and sometimes the lighthouse beacon moves on its own. Ooh.
Ooh.
Steve, pull up that one picture of that Zeppelin. Yeah, bring up the news article. So the Macon crashes, USS Macon, which was a which was basically a Zeppelin. It was in the Navy. It was a part of the Air Fleet. Crashed, I believe, in February 15th or 16th, 1886. And I believe it claimed over 20 lives. But a lot of it, they were able to, a lot of people were able to get from because it was a slow crash. Because it's a Zeppelin, it's inflated. It wasn't. And it crashed basically near the beacon or off Point Sir Light. So people died on that as well. It's very, I definitely want to check out this place. What kind of hauntings are probably going on here? I'm going to say, Steve, do we have that video from that one ghost group of Mr. Rick Mortimer?
Try that again. Can you return my knock? You know that. You know how the knock knows. Did you hear that? Huh?
So, knock, knock.
Yeah, you heard the knock knock. And for the viewers who are listening just on Spotify and Anchor FM, go to the YouTube thing. And also go see Mr. Rick Mortimer's thing. He had it out about 10 years ago. Mr. Rick Mortimer, I hope that you're okay with me sharing this with you, with all of us. Such a great job. I watched your video. When you start hearing things like that at lighthouses, you're thinking intelligent haunting.
Correct.
Definitely an intelligent haunting. Don't get me wrong. There could be residual. I mean, like we talked about, you know, there was countless deaths that did happen inside places like this. But when you start getting back things that are knocking when you're knocking and you're doing the shave and the haircut knock and you get those last two raps, well, something's going on. Some kind of intelligence is definitely going on there. But I would definitely say a residual thing. They also did pick up some voices. But once again, those could be voices from the past. Like when you and I were at the Monroe House or something like that or any other place that we've ever been to, you're going to capture certain things. Was that part of a timeline? Because of dramatic things that happen in a timeline. A lot of the outside of that place is made of sandstone. And we have water that surrounds a lot of these lighthouses, which is an excellent conduit for what? Hauntings and residual hauntings. If you go back to the stone tape theory, water plays a major part in these kind of hauntings, these residual hauntings that happen. So this place here, I would definitely love to go to one day. The only thing is, I don't really like California that much, so I don't know if I'll go. But I did see it. It was one of the more interesting ones that I saw. What would you think, Michelle? What kind of haunting do you think is that?
Well, that's another one, bucket list. I do like lighthouses, not just the fact that they are haunted. For me, it's a personal thing too. Like when we were in Florida, St. Augustine was 10 minutes down the street, came out of where we were staying, and there's lighthouse. It instantly put this grin on my face. I felt so happy. I mean, yeah, it's a beacon of light for sailors. Sailors felt comforted by that. But again, you know, you think of the tragedies, not just at the lighthouse, but think about all the ships that crashed there before that lighthouse was erected. I mean, let's put a lighthouse here because the ships crash here. I mean, there's a reason why there's lighthouses at certain locations. So we don't take into account all the ships that, you know, have gone down, people that have perished on the boats and ships.
When this lighthouse was built, the Point Sir Lighthouse, you know, it was to deter people from hitting and crashing, but they were still doing it for whatever reason.
Right.
They still had accidents that did happen. Now, the other thing, and I was going to tell Steve about this, is in the fall when we're done doing our tours and stuff like that, we actually have a lot of nice lighthouses around here that are supposedly haunted.
Oh, yes, we do. Just on Lake Michigan alone, there's so many.
That should be our next little destination.
Oh, I'm down.
You know? All right, so that brings us into our third one. Michelle, please continue.
So this is Seguin Island Lighthouse, and it's located 2.5 miles off the coast of Georgetown, Maine. And it actually sits, it is the second oldest lighthouse in Maine. The only way to gain access to this lighthouse is by boat or helicopter. And it was actually commissioned by George Washington in 1795. One supposedly ghost story is that of a young girl who died and was buried on the island. She has been seen and heard in the gardens on the island, and she is often heard laughing and giggling. But people have also heard her coughing. Maybe whatever she died from still haunts her in her afterlife. Now, the spirit of a child may be frightening to most people, but imagine seeing an apparition of a man dragging a bloody axe behind him, or hearing piano music floating through the air on a cool, damp night. That's what many witnesses have encountered here. The famous story that haunts this island takes place in the mid-1800s. A keeper and his wife had been feeling the desolation and loneliness of living on the island. The wife was very bored, and to pass the time, the husband had a piano delivered to the island. She was so happy, so elated, but unfortunately, the company that sent the piano only sent one song, one sheet music song. And she played that over and over.
Oh my God, that's a haunting itself.
And over. So the husband grew so sick and tired of this until one day he just snapped. He had it done. Can't stand it. So he grabbed an axe and decided to destroy the piano. When that wasn't enough, he decided to turn the axe on his lovely wife and leave her in little pieces just like the piano. Does she still play the piano in death? And I'm wondering, is that the same song that people are hearing? And then there's one other eyewitness account was of a warrant officer in the mid-1980s. The lighthouse had been decommissioned, and his job was to pack up all the belongings and transport them back to the mainland. The officer was awoken in the middle of the night by a man who was dressed in oilskins. Oilskins, I found out, is like a type of waterproof raincoat. A lot of sailors, people that work on the water, will wear these. And he was also shaking violently, and he was crying out, "Please don't take my furniture. Leave my home alone." So the officer just thought it was a bad dream, brushed off, went back to bed, got up the next morning. As he was packing up his boat, putting everything on the boat, all the belongings, the boat mysteriously sank. So I couldn't find any proof of a keeper and a wife from the mid-1800s. There was actually a list of all the keepers who had ran this lighthouse.
Well, and we were able to grab some.
Right.
Let's pull up a couple of these pictures right here.
And they never mentioned children. You do see like names, like female names that are on there, and they are quoted as assistant. So I'm wondering if they're the actual wives, or are they an actual assistant? But you think the wives are going to be assisting the husband, you know, carry the oil up, do whatever. So, and many families work together. There was grandfather, father, son, you know, you would see some of the same family names. There'd be like one head family member and then assistant, assistant, assistant. So
we don't know if this is the piano playing lady or not. This is just
not really sure.
We have a couple more pictures, don't we? Don't we have no more pictures, Steve? So that's from the place as well. It looks like two guys who are doing construction on the place, Michelle. Right.
I know they said it's about a 64-mile island. But just think, back then, you're stuck. The only way you're getting off that island is by boat. And now you can be flown in on helicopter. But yeah, once you're out there, you're stuck for a good month. You know, you're not going to be going to the shore getting supplies every day, and especially in the winter, stormy weather, the desolation, the isolation alone would drive one person mad, I'm sure.
That's what I was about to ask, is that could madness just set in, or like it's such an impression?
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, just like traumatic things, like we've talked about many times, that madness is set in and it's driving people nuts. And then they just start acting out. It's almost like, even though you said it's a 64-mile island, but no matter what, it's an island.
Right.
It's not like you're going to some local grocery stop or anything like that.
Right.
And you're having to see the same people day after day after right. day.
But yeah, yeah, imagine hearing this same song over and over and over.
You know,
I'd go crazy.
It's almost like being in a hotel room with like Steve.
No.
You know, like you see the same guy, you got to hear him, and he's got to talk about the same thing.
Steve, here he comes.
Hi. Oh, right Steve. Up. Oh, hey. Hey, no problem. It would just drive you mad.
Yeah, but who's the snorer? Who's the snorer?
I am.
This guy. This.
Yeah, this, I don't guy. Sleep. Yeah.
I don't Steve, sleep. What do I do?
That's why I get my own room away.
Yeah, that's why she gets her own room every time.
Yeah. You better go on a few destination investigations, right? And I get thrown into the room with Neil, and Neil likes to listen to special music when he goes to sleep, which is always fun.
It's meditative. So sure. It drowns out sound.
Right. I do the same thing.
Yeah. So
yep. Quiet, over and over. Same song.
So who's the other guy with who's there? What kind of hauntings do you think is going on there then?
Again, you know, I think it could be just, you know, it could be residual.
That sounds like to be residual right. hauntings.
It sounds residual. Not too many haunted stories, but just that one about the murder was a little one that stuck out for me. I was trying to do, you know, something different. So,
all right.
But yeah, well, Big Sur. There's so many lighthouses that are on my bucket
there's
list.
There's so many lighthouses, man. I mean, and I was looking up like lighthouses in Asia and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's you could do a year's worth of lighthouse hauntings alone right. on shows.
Right.
But so that's going to conclude us for tonight. Next time show, we are going to be doing a show. We are going to be bringing back hooky, spooky stories. We are going to try to bring in some vendors that are going to be happening at Parapalooza. And we're going to, how many people can we fill up on StreamYard, Steve?
We can have up to 10.
10. So I'm going to try to get 7 more people other than us three. And we're going to try to talk about everybody's hooky, spooky stories. And we're going to talk about Parapalooza. And we're going to be having some fun and making some new friends as we go along, you know. Does that sound good?
Woo-hoo.
All right. And then after that, we're going to take a little break for a little while from Spirits by the Graveside. And we have some new ideas that are going to be coming your way. We'll talk more about that a little bit later date. This is Neil with Graveside Paranormal. That is Michelle. And down below in the Brady Bunch box is Steve, our fine producer. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget Parapalooza. And as always,
get your tickets.
Get your tickets.
Boo.